Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Split Decision Podcast. Back and better than ever because I'm finally excited for a fight card. It's been a while. It's been almost a month since I've actually felt genuine excitement. PJ, you're not to the right of me, unfortunately, today, but your voice is still out there somewhere. Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Paul?
Yes, I can hear you now. We're all good. How have you been, buddy? It's been a while.
I know. I miss those baby blues of yours. Yeah. What are you doing back in? Are you back in Munster, M Town, or what?
Yeah, you know, I had to come home. You know, as a boyfriend, I didn't get to see my girlfriend on Valentine's Day, but you know, I had to come home for the
little Valentine's Day special. You know.
Yeah. You know, some would say.
Must be nice. Must be nice to have someone to spend the 14th with.
Yeah.
Good for you. I know Jack could speak on that as well. Must be nice, fellas. You know? Some of us, what did I do? I don't know. I did my homework. I watched some highlights and stayed on my phone for way too long trying to see what was out there for me.
It's all right, buddy.
It's all right, boss. Always next year. Been saying that for 21 years. What can I say?
You're young. You got time.
Well, I don't think you believe in me. That's the problem.
I mean, I do and I don't.
Why wouldn't you, though? You don't think that anyone would date me?
No.
I don't know.
No.
Webb wasn't convincing.
But no, I believe in you, bud.
I appreciate that, PJ. And I appreciate you making this phone call. I know it's a little early. You know, whenever I was back home, personally, you're not going to get me out of bed until like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I know it's 10 o'clock over there. I mean, that being said, you could be laying down. Or where are you at? You chilling at the house right now?
I'm in the basement watching some Clarkson Sports Center.
Just like old times. The Katona basement. Where's Lucas? Where's Lucas Dukas?
Well, they're at school, so it's Friday,
Nicole. Sucks. That sucks. How's the new dog?
Good. He's like 12 pounds now, but his personality is coming out a little bit. Last time when we first brought him home, you know, he was getting used to the house, and then I left, obviously, for like a month. But, yeah, he's sweet now. He's very nice. So he's doing well.
Interesting. I look forward to meeting him. What's the name again?
Winston. My good old, like Jameis, like famous Jameis.
Famous Jameis. Was that the inspiration behind that?
No. It was just we usually make a list, and all five of us in our family had one common denominator as a name, and we all had Winston on there. So
you guys all had Winston on
Winston won by unanimous decision, 50-45.
Wait, so you guys each made a list, and you guys happened to put the name Winston on there?
Yeah, we made a list of like 5 to 7.
Did you guys like use generic dognames.com to come up with that, or what?
No. I did some. I would assume someone in my family did. I did not. I only had a couple names.
To be honest, no. That's not a standard dog name. I would say I don't think I've ever met a Winston before.
No.
You call him Winnie? Winnie.
My mother. My mother does.
Oh, Kim Kat. I adore her. How is she?
She's well as well. She's doing good. She's upstairs right now.
Give her a big hug for me next time you see her.
Alrighty. Will do.
All right, Paul. But it was nice talking to you, bro. I'll catch you next week, okay?
All right.
Okay. Let's get to the chase, all right? Big week this week, Paul.
Let's go. We're talking all sweet. Let's talk about violence.
Yeah, let's talk about some violence, Paul, because I know me and you both, even as big MMA fans that we are, these last two fight cards, sleepers.
Yeah. The last one in particular, for sure.
Oh, last one. I literally, who was it? Piper versus Hermanson. Did you watch that fight?
I watched the first, I'm not going to lie, I think I watched the first two rounds, and I just realized that I was wasting my time. It wasn't very fun.
It was not fun. I will say I was doing absolutely nothing, so, you know, I had nothing better to do than to watch this fight. And I will say it got entertaining as it went on because it was just, it was cool to see kind of Hermanson figure Piper out. And, you know, who doesn't like when the old dog uses the experience to get over on the young bull, you know what I mean?
No, it was cool. It was cool.
I mean, I love a fraud check every now and then, especially when I'm not, like, too confident in the hype train itself. I like to see a guy get ran over every now and then, and that's kind of what
happened. You know, that's the second guy that Hermanson has fraud checked. He fraud checked, what's his name, Edmund Shahbazyan back in 2021.
Yeah, he did.
When he was on the come up.
Yep.
So, you know, kind of like Neil Magny of the middleweight division, he's, what is he, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's 4-4 in his last eight.
Yeah,
just
I know.
Rotating win-loss, win-loss.
I've peeped that. So it looks like he's not going to fare too well next time out, especially if he gets that Amavov fight that he called for.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know if he'll get that. Amavov? Who did Amavov beat? Yo, he beat Delize the week before that.
That fight was weird. Did you catch that one?
Yes. And of course, like, I bet $10 on Delize, like, literally, like, 30 seconds before the fight started. I'm like, oh, let me get this in before.
Amavov. I was going to say, Imabov kind of gave you a chance there with all those eye pokes.
Literally, I think I sent a tweet about it. I said, Delize, I respect you, bro, but I needed you to pull a Sterling. I saw that. Like, good for you. Like, you can keep fighting, but you were down, like, 3-0 at that point. You should have just took the DQ, buddy. Huh?
No, that might be the weirdest scorecard I've ever seen. It was 49-44, 47-47, and 48-46.
Yeah, I don't know. I really.
Like, 47. No judge saw that one the same. That's weird.
He almost killed him in the very first round, which honestly, looking back at it, I would have just preferred to see that because it. I don't know. Instead,
there's a lot of false hope.
Yeah, you know, you always have that false hope. You know, I'm thinking, well, you know, he really tried hard to get the finish there. Maybe Delize will mount a comeback, and he literally, like, any time Amavov hit him, he looked, like, hurt. He just looked stunned.
Yeah, I'm kind of a believer. You know, Amavov is, you know,
he's really good. He's good.
I mean, you know, his only loss in the last, like, 4 years, I think, is to Sean Strickland, mm-hmm. So no shame in that.
No shame, unless you're Israel Adesanya.
Yeah, but... Who else? What else was going on? Oh, yeah, we had Renato Moicano versus Drew Dober on the Imabov card. That was a fun one. I mean, it was a lot of, control time for Money Moicano. He had 10 minutes of control time in the 15-minute fight, but still entertaining. Both guys were pretty bloody. Did you catch that one as well?
No, not at all. All I caught was the post-fight interview, which was...
That's an instant classic. No, he's doing a good job of promoting himself.
He is. And I think he's going to get that. He's probably going to get that Patty fight next. No, has to.
Yeah, I think that's a great fight. I think, like, stylistically too, that's a great fight for both of them. It'll be interesting.
I'm excited, bro. Are you excited? Are you excited to see what's to come for the next few weeks for the UFC? Because honestly,
I am.
Kinda...
Well,
go ahead.
I think we're going to say the same thing, but I was going to say, you know, it's been a long wait for the UFC 300 main event, but I think we're finally going to get it on Saturday.
Yeah, I think so, for sure. And I think we're all going to be disappointed when we get it, to be honest. I don't think Dana's going to pull anything crazy out the hat. I really don't. Like, the way some fighters have been talking about, like, you know, John Jones said the other week that, like, they had called him about it, asking if there was any chance he could make it. I mean, Volkanovski was still trying to, you know, put his name in the hat there. I really don't think they have anything locked down. And PJ, I'm going to be honest with you because I've been giving this some more thought as of late. And I know this might hurt you to hear, but I am starting to comes to the conclusion, but I see it more and more likely as every day passes that Conor McGregor may not fight again, PJ. I really don't know if he will.
I don't know what's going on with that either, to be honest with you. I don't know.
I don't know, because all signs were seemingly pointing to once he gets USADA out the way, once his leg is healed, we're going to get him in there as fast as possible. And it seems every time you talk to Dana, it's just like, okay, now we're thinking.
No progress is being made.
Early spring. Now we're thinking summer. Now he's talking about fall. I wouldn't be surprised to ask him about it a month from now. And sooner or later, I mean, at one point we were saying Chandler's going to, like, you know, he had to take something to stay active. He's saying he's willing to wait it out. I mean, but, like, really? Is he going to go 2 years without
Chandler's
fighting?
Chandler's wasting his prime years right now.
Yeah, is he going to go 2 years?
I don't know. There's a part of me that I don't think will ever give up. I think at some point that fight's going to happen, but it's still, like, frustratingly might. I mean, it might be a while.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. I mean, maybe I'm just speaking a little abrasively here, but I really would have thought we would have got some news, but there's like a, no, actually no, at this point they would have announced McGregor. They would have announced McGregor at the Super Bowl. That was also another thing. It's like, if they had a big fight ready to go, they would have spent money on a Super Bowl ad, because that was the highest viewed Super Bowl of all time. And if they got a guy like McGregor, who, like, the casual American viewer, like, oh, like, name a UFC fighter, oh, McGregor, like, you would have sold so many pay-per-views off that, or got so much attention.
Yeah.
I agree.
A lot of people, for some reason, I was looking on Twitter when they heard there was Dana White in a commercial. For some reason, they thought it was going to be a UFC commercial, but, like,
Yeah, it was Bud Light.
Everybody,
right?
I was going to say, it was a Bud Light commercial with Dana White in it. So I don't know, that created a lot of false hope for everybody. But I already kind of figured they weren't going to do a commercial for that.
I think Saturday we will get the announcement. But more importantly, Paul, it's going to be it'll be interesting to find that out. But Saturday is just an absolutely just crazy card, PJ. The main card is probably one of the best I've ever seen in my entire life. And some people have been talking to me about it and talking about, you know, giving predictions. And I'll say fights one through, or the last five, six fights of the card, if you want to throw Lemos and Mackenzie Dern in there, you could come up with a logical way that any of those fighters could win those matchups.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to be interested to hear your picks, see kind of like what we agree on, and, you know, just kind of talk to you about mixed martial arts, PJ, because I think we kind of have that interest in common, and I think you kind of know what you're talking about when it comes to that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, I would say, you know, it's fun talking to you about this stuff.
One of your fortes, I might argue. So, let's get into it. Why not us? Why not us? But unfortunately, we have to start at the bottom of this card just to say we looked at the whole thing. Anything at the bottom that actually interests you? All I see is Val Woodburn. He got knocked out by Bill
Nichols. Val Woodburn's fighting. He's a massive underdog.
Obviously, I threw $5 on him last time he fought.
there was value there.
What was it? Plus?
Like, what?
1,200?
Yeah, plus 5 billion.
he was the largest underdog in UFC history.
Betting odds, I've never, like, a betting line, literally, I've never seen a betting line just scream, like, don't even think about it.
Well, I threw it, but I'm pretty sure if I threw $5, that's outrageous. I want to say, hopefully I only threw a dollar.
I mean, a dollar would have won you, like, 20 at that point.
Yeah.
At that point.
But he gets to fight again because he took that fight on short notice against Bo Nickel. Good for you. I don't know, Joe. I don't know any of these other fighters. Do you know any of these other fighters? This Rinya Nakamura guy's 8-0, so he must be pretty good, huh?
Yeah, he's an upcoming prospect in the stacked bantamweight division, of course.
Okay.
Fighting Chito Vera.
Yeah. So this guy's good. Shut up. Jesus. The thing is, I know you thought that was so funny, bro. I could see that little stupid smirk on your face.
That was a good one.
Oh, good one.
this Rinya Nakamura guy, he's dangerous. I remember he was on the Lewis and Spivak card, and he knocked that guy out in literally.
Of course, he knocked out Fernie Garcia. So I'm sure you.
That was his last one. His last one, he won by decision over Fernie Garcia. But the first fight, he knocked somebody out pretty quickly, Put the world on notice.
Yeah,
he should be solid.
He was on the road to the UFC. I kind of like that.
But after that, like you said, the next seven fights are all must watch. Honestly, after get to Rinya. I mean, even this next one, the heavyweights, the Marcos Rogério de Lima and Justin Toffa is obviously must watch. He's always fun. He's got three consecutive first round knockouts for him.
Yeah, I might have to take Big Boy Toffa in this one. I mean,
yeah, De Lima just got Masvidal'd by Derek Lewis.
Yeah, that doesn't speak too well if you're getting Masvidal'd by a 265 pound man.
That's gotta be really great. Oh my god! Obviously I'm a Derek Lewis fan. I feel like everybody is, but like I just remember like the amount of excitement I got from that. Was just like it was equivalent to like being one of my top five favorite fighters winning.
Well, yeah, I mean I was just gonna say that was like a make or break fight for Derek Lewis, but go ahead.
Oh yes, before that he had lost four or five, and he was probably on his way out. I mean, out of the game.
Four of his last five? Was it really four of his last five?
Yeah, he lost to Gon.
Yeah,
then he beat Dawkins, shocker, and then he lost. Lost to Tuivasa,
Pavlovich,
and Spivak.
Yeesh. He lost to Sergey Spivak? I don't even remember that fight.
Jeez. No, that was a fight night. That was a very upsetting one to watch.
Oh, Jesus. You know, it was upsetting. Him versus Jalton Almeida. That was tough to watch.
Yeah, Almeida's a stinker.
But speaking of stinky Brazilians, Amanda Lemos takes on Mackenzie Dern. I've decided to put my Mackenzie Dern bias aside for the rest of my career because it always comes back to bite me.
She's an idiot.
I mean,
game plan for the last fight, I would
terrible.
I would love to know.
Terrible. Oh, why don't you remind me about that fight? Like, anyways, Jessica Andrade, she got knocked out the last fight by Jessica Andrade. It was a brutal. I think she got knocked down like four times within two rounds. But Amanda Lemos, she's coming off a loss as well to Weili Zhang. No shame in losing to Zhang Weili.
No shame, but except the
that was a title fight. Yeah.
The stats are a bit shameful because Lemos got... Absolutely. I mean, I think she got outstruck 296 to 29.
Did you watch that fight?
Yeah, I was at Brothers. That was when the Sugar Show
yes.
became champ.
Yes. I missed that fight. Weili Zhang versus, I mean, I kind of knew what the result was going to be of that one. I don't think it was ever in doubt.
Yeah.
But honestly, now that I look at it, I didn't realize she doesn't fight like too often. She maybe fights one or two times a year. Her last fight before that was against Marina Rodriguez like 1 year and 3 months ago. So she's a slight favorite going into this one. Mackenzie Dern's coming in on short notice. I forgot who she's filling in for. I don't know. Who's she filling in for? Because I know Amanda Lemos versus Mackenzie Dern was not the original matchup. It might have been even Jessica Andrade that I think she was scheduled up against. And then she ultimately got rebooked for UFC 300. I believe it. That's how. I believe.
That sounds about right,
Let me see. I think. Oh, Tatiana Suarez. She was scheduled versus Tatiana Suarez.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, she would have got murdered. Yep. But she has much better chance with someone with the IQ of Mackenzie Dern, who, because she won a decision against Angela Hill on the feet, thought that she could box with Jessica Andrade, who's probably one of the hardest hitting women fighters of all time. So Mackenzie, let's not do that again. Don't do that again, because Amanda Lemos can crack. But who would you take in this one, Paul?
You know, I would say if Dern plays this one smartly, maybe, but I'm going to lean more towards Lemos on this one. She hits too hard, and she's coming off. I would assume she's worked on her takedown defense a little bit, considering she got ragdolled in her last fight. And no offense to Miss Dern, but she is nowhere near the same strength level as Weili Zhang is. So I would lean more towards Lemos.
Yeah, I think I might agree with you, unfortunately. I mean, I love you, Mackenzie, but if you can't take your opponent down, you're kind of toast. And plus, your short notice. I will say, though, I don't think Amanda Lemos is actually too good on the ground. I mean, she was controlled pretty easily by Zhang. And then I remember when she got triangle choked by Jessica Andrade, but that was on the feet, to be fair to her. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, we know what Mackenzie's going to go in there and try to do, theoretically, what she should try to do. Amanda Lemos is probably going to take it on the feet. I'll agree with you on that one. I'm going to go with Amanda Lemos as well. But then we can move up in the card. Why don't you tell us what's going on to open up the fight?
Yeah, beautiful main card. Honestly, this is it's so crazy. This might be the first main card in a while where I legitimately could see every single betting underdog actually win their fight. Like, I think this is such a brutal.
Yeah, it's tough. It's so
brutal, but exciting fight card to predict. It's brutal, but I just think, like, I mean, who would have ever thought that, like, you know, Henry Cejudo would actually be like an underdog in a non title fight? Henry Cejudo's an underdog. Yeah. Crazy to me. Got another guy who I'm honestly surprised is an underdog, but I mean, this one, this might be the tough, like, low key, this might be one of the toughest ones.
Just to me, all of them are tough. Every single one of them is just,
they are, but yeah, we got Mr. Anthony Hernandez, who I believe is ranked 15th in middleweight, I believe.
Yeah.
Coming up against Mr. Roman Kapilov, who has just been decapitating people left and right. He's a pretty scary dude, to say the least. He put everybody on put the world on notice. I don't know if it was his last one or his one before that. He if this would load, I could see. Claudio, I would say he put the world on notice probably past July, when he head kicked Claudio Ribeiro into the canvas, and then obviously got another knockout against Josh Fremd. So he's a scary guy, to say the least. But he is the underdog to Mr. Hernandez, who also hasn't lost since 2020. He only fights about one time a year, but his last loss was to Kevin Big Mouth Holland, actually.
Yeah.
But I'll let you give your prediction first on this one, bud.
I hate when you do that. You know, I just like to either A, agree with you, or B, pick against you because you're wrong.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I always go first, so why not ladies first?
Oh, good for you. Oh, wow, first good line in years. Good one, pal. Anyways. you jerk. Anyways, go on, Anthony. I got two biases going for me, PJ. Do you know? I'm sure you can understand what those two biases are on both sides.
Well, here we go. Let's take a guess here. One by his name is Roman, and the other one's wearing green shorts. Other one's going to be representing the country of Mexico. But I'm actually very intrigued to hear your answer.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, this one's tough. I'll say this. Roman Kopolev, I think he's on the longest knockout streak in the UFC right now. And he is a fast starter. Like, he gets guys out of there early. Fluffy Hernandez, I don't think as much, but his last fight, I remember watching versus Shabazzian, he looked really good. And he pretty much ragdolled Shabazzian after a little bit. So it's a tough one. I think the longer the fight goes, it's in Fluffy's favor. But, you know, Kopolev's a fast starter. Ugh. I'm gonna go Kopalev on this one. I think he might knock him out in the first round. I think he's gonna start really quick, and I think Fluffy kind of might get in trouble a little bit early and might not know what to do. What do you think though, bro?
I like it. No, I thought we were gonna be opposed on this one. Nope. I'm rolling with the Roman train on this one. I got second round knockout for Kopalev. He's a +200 underdog, so I'm not going to tell anybody what to do with their money. You're just saying there's value in Mr. Kopalev.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
I'm going to go second round TKO.
Yeah, I think he might hurt Fluffy bad in the first and then might get him out in the second. But that being said, I could easily see a case where he gets close in the first, maybe gas himself out a bit. And, you know, those Mexicans don't stop fighting, bro. They fight for all 15 minutes, so I could see him overwhelming him at the end. Maybe even getting like a third round finish. Who knows?
Yeah, no, this is going to be a great one to open up on the card.
For sure. Very underrated fight on the card. But yeah, we'll move up to the next one. We got Merab Dvalishvili versus Henry Cejudo. Instrumental to how the bantamweight division is laid out for the rest of the year.
Title eliminator here for sure.
I love that vocab, Paul. I love that vocab. But why don't you give us the rundown? You know, what's at stake here in this one?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Henry Cejudo. First off, Merab has been ranked second for forever now because obviously his butt buddy Aljo Sterling has been the champ, and he said that he wouldn't want to take the belt. He was sort of implying he doesn't want to take the belt off Aljo's waist. But now that Aljo's gone, obviously. Merab's time to become champ is now. He's been ranked second, I think, for at least a year and a half, maybe two. And now he's fighting Cejudo, who's ranked third. Obviously, Cejudo, you know, coming off the loss. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I said, it's just weird to see Henry Cejudo actually be a dog in a non-title fight. Weird to see Henry Cejudo in a non-title fight. It's his first non-title fight in his last six fights. I mean, it's a tough one, and I hate to say it because I don't know. I could see it being so opposite, but honestly, I just think I see Merab just doing exactly what he did to Piotr Jan in this one here.
Yeah, I know
Merab came out and said that Henry's the better wrestler, but, like, Merab said he's the better fighter, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I have a hard time seeing Henry at his age. I know he's still top shape, but at the same time,
I mean, Merab's young and hungry. You know, he's still trying to climb the mountain. You know,
the pace is unreal. Yeah, Merab hasn't lost since 2018. I'm gonna go Merab by unanimous decision. And honestly, I think I wouldn't be. I think I'm seeing like 30-27. Like I think he does this pretty easily, in my opinion. But I could also see it going the other way if he gets caught. But I just personally, I think the pace is going to be way too much. I'm going Merab.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you on this one. I mean, Henry Cejudo, I think, might be the more polished fighter, like on the feet in terms of technique and wrestling. But like Merab just has that. Like I wouldn't even call it the equalizer in terms of his cardio. It's like, it's actually an inhumane advantage. And, you know, it's literally, when I saw him do to Piotr Jan, it's not, I wanted to scream at my TV that this is not fair. Like,
yeah, that was devastating.
Because Piotr Jan in that fight defended, I don't know how many takedowns, and then probably got taken down, I don't know, 8 or 9 times. But it was the fact that it was Merab. I've never watched a fight and been 11. Exhausted. Yeah, 11.
It was 11. Oh, he attempted 49 and successfully got 11.
That is crazy. Attempting 10 takedowns a round. Most guys, they try maybe 1 or 2 in the first round. If they get stuffed, you know, that'll be it for the fight pretty much from there. And this guy was shooting 10 times a round. That's unheard of.
No, he's unreal.
In a 5-round fight. In a 5-round fight, he was shooting every minute. Imagine how many times. Now, is it the smartest thing to shoot on Henry? Probably not. But also, at the same time, I don't think we've ever even seen Henry off his back. I think Sterling took him down a couple times and, you know, took his back. Marab, I don't think, is necessarily the greatest controller of someone while they're on the ground. Like, I've never really seen him lay. Marlon Moraes, he controlled it, but Marlon Moraes has no gas tank, and he's certainly not the grappler that Henry Cejudo is. But, like, for all the reasons that you said, Paul, I think he's young. He's younger, he's hungrier, and he just has that cardio. I'm not gonna lie, he certainly won me over when he raised the Mexican flag yesterday. I know he's gonna fight real Mexican style on Saturday.
Yeah, no, he's a dog for sure.
So yeah.
What's the final prediction for you?
I'm gonna go Marab. I don't think he'll finish him, but I'll go unanimous decision as well.
Yeah, Marab is entertaining and all that, but of his last nine fights, he's won nine in a row, but only has one finish in those nine fights. So,
I think
a lot of unanimous decisions for him, and I think they have the same thing.
Yeah. Here. Unfortunately, that's the only thing that kind of works against him. But, a win, regardless of a finish or not, if he beats Cejudo, you'd have to think he's surely fighting for the title next.
Oh, yeah,
100%. And vice versa, though. I mean, Cejudo can obviously make us all look dumb and, remind us of why he's one of the GOATs. But
yeah, I wouldn't be I would be a little surprised. But honestly, like, at the same time, just how great Cejudo is, I'm not going to sit here and doubt him. But first, I think his time is up, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Next fight, PJ. Maybe the second most, looked at fight on the card. Maybe the people's main event, maybe. Perhaps.
I think it goes right in order, honestly. I think these next three, 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, obviously we have the return of Ian Machado Garry. After much controversy in the past couple months, much
scrutiny. Yeah, he's taken, for sure.
But that's your boy, no?
I don't mind, I've lost a little bit of fandom for him. As a fighter, I think he's electric still. However, I don't know. He's just kind of a weirdo.
He is a very weird guy. He does some very corny stuff. Kind of lets his wife dictate a lot of the things that he does, which I think is also weird. His wife, who's 18 years older than him or whatever she is. That being said, though, very easy on the eyes she is. But he's taking on Jeff Neal, who... Jeff Neal is a very, very impressive fighter. Lost his last one out versus Shavkat, but, it's Shavkat, and he put up a heck of a fight. Hurt Shavkat.
Hey, I was going to say, he made Shavkat at least look like a human being in that fight for a little bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then before that, he also is someone that doesn't fight often, though. Looks like he's only fighting once a year. Would love to see him fight a little bit more often. But his last fight, he looked really good. I think he was the first person... to stop Vicente Luque, if I'm correct. Yeah, Vicente Luque at that point had never had his chin cracked, but Jeff Neal did that several times. I rewatched that fight. I didn't realize how bad he was actually hurting him. But they call him Hands of Steel for a reason. I believe you predicted the last fight, so I shall go ahead and predict this fight first. I am a hater of Ian Garry, so take that with a grain of salt. But I do genuinely believe that I think Ian Garry is so comfortable and has been so comfortable in the fights he's been in so far, like thinking that he is and will win. And I'm sure he thinks the same in this one. But I think once Jeff Neal applies a little bit of that pressure and, starts landing shots, I could see Ian Garry withering a little bit, especially after all that's been happening with him in recent months. So I might go Jeff Neal... second round KO.
Wow. Alrighty. Yeah, I've been a little in between on this one. I'm not gonna lie. I usually have my prediction and then I don't really let whatever they say off and on camera affect me. But the more I watch Jeff Neal and hear about Jeff Neal, makes me want to lean a little bit more towards him, but I'm not gonna lie, I just for right now I can't see Ian Garry. The thing is, Jeff Neal's not the one who's going to... I don't really see him taking him, trying to shoot the legs.
I don't think so.
Gary's got 4 inches in height, although Neal actually has the longer reach, which is weird.
I mean, but, he has really nice boxing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a sharp boxer. This one, I think, honestly, like this one could go either way in terms of who gets finished, but I don't know. As for right now, I just can't see Ian Garry losing yet, and I'm gonna
You're scared. You're scared.
I'm gonna go Ian Garry by third round.
Interesting.
You're gonna get a late one.
Thing is, you said that, and obviously you're not here to look me eye to eye, man to man, but I could still sense your nervousness while you said that. Your unsureness.
Yeah, I was nervous.
Uncertainty.
I was nervous, little boy. But that was I was just no, it's gonna be a great bout. Thing is, I like Jeff Neal a lot better than I like Ian Garry, but I'm going to put my bias aside here. I think Ian Garry gets it done.
Interesting.
Ian Garry gets it done, gets on the mic, probably tells the crowd to, you know,
go sit on it.
F off, and the whole crowd boos back at him. Maybe a couple beers thrown in the octagon.
Regardless, they'll get booed unless he has some crazy highlight knockout, but we'll see. But PJ, the next fight, come on. The next fight,
probably the people's main event, in my opinion.
Yes, I mean, and I didn't, you know, everyone was kind of holding their breath to see if we'd get there or not. We're of course talking about Robert Whittaker versus Paulo Costa. This is the third time this fight has been booked, and we are finally, all things being going well, in the weigh-ins today. I mean, have they weighed in yet? I don't know. I haven't checked my phone. Presumably yes, though they usually weigh in quite early, but I don't know.
I don't think it's yet. I want to say it's at 11 or 12 usually. I remember when I get the updates on Twitter that they've weighed in. I don't think it started yet.
Okay. Well, God willing, I mean, I'm not really worried about Robert Whittaker, and Costa seems to be in good shape, so I think we should be good to go. But this fight's going to be a banger, Paul. It has to be, right? Both guys, one win, two losses in their last three. Robert Whittaker, of course, got erased by Dricus du Plessis in, Paul, one of your funniest fights that you've ever watched live.
Hey, you know, it was funny in the moment, but now I'm honestly not surprised after watching Dricus just be a dog. But in the moment, yes, I don't think I've ever laughed harder.
And it was great to watch.
Completely caught off guard with the result in that one.
Yeah, I probably had three parlays, and I'm sure all of them had Robert Whittaker beating Dricus, so... But even regardless, just like the awe factor of it, you couldn't help but, you know, laugh a little bit. As for Paulo Costa, his last win was against an old former champion, Luke Rockhold. So what kind of significance does that carry? Who's to say? I think this is going to be the first time he's going to be at sea level, in great shape in a while. So I don't think the cardio will play a factor like it has, you know. Last fight, it played a factor, and then obviously he wasn't in great shape the fight before that. And apparently he was wine drunk versus Izzy. So will we get the Paulo Costa that fought Yael Romero almost four and a half years ago? Hopefully. Yeah. I'm feeling pretty confident in this one. I don't know why, but I think the eraser might erase Robert Whittaker, and I think he might do it in the second round.
Wow, I love it, dude. I thought for sure you're going with the Reaper. Like, I can't believe that. Yeah, no, I also been watching Paulo in camps. He looks extremely locked in. Disciplined Paulo Costa appears to be back.
He is scary.
I'm not gonna lie, I have the exact same prediction as you. I don't want to say this, but I'm gonna say it just because I could be wrong. I'm gonna throw the hypothetical out there. But honestly, like bad knockout versus Dricus. Robert looked, he looked pretty terrible in that
he
one.
Did. He did. He
and to be honest with you, there's a bit of similarity in the way that I don't know, Costa and Dricus, they kind of remind me of each other a little bit, at least the way they fight and the way they look.
I would agree.
And they're both absolutely jacked human beings.
Mm-hmm.
There's a picture of Costa's last fight, the pre-fight.
I don't know how that dude makes 185. He's ginormous.
He's a unit. But I'm gonna agree with you. I'm going to go also, I think second round, Paulo actually does it. I can't believe I'm saying that.
I mean, but I'm just thinking, like, you know, the power, the combinations. He has a good chin on him as well. I mean, I've seen him get cracked, but I've never, besides Izzy, like, you know, no one's ever, like, hit him, like, really rocked him crazy. And Robert Whittaker's not known for having power. So, you know, Robert Whittaker's kind of going to have to, you know, be content kind of pot-shotting him for three rounds, which I know he has the capability to do, but Paulo Costa is not the same as a Vettori where, you know, he's Vettori at a certain point was, you know, couldn't find ways in because he didn't want to get hit. But Paulo Costa, I mean, if you looked at his fight versus Yoel Romero or Luke Rockhold, he's more than willing to take one to give one. And the thing is, when he gives them, they hurt a lot worse usually than the ones that he's taken.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's definitely not scared to get hit. Both these guys, honestly, are capable of making the fight scrappy and ugly. But that's why I'm very intrigued to see how this one goes. Like, I feel like I'm going to have a good I'm going to have an idea of how this fight's going to go after watching the first couple of exchanges. But obviously, for now, we're out of the loop on that for now. But I would have to say at this point in their careers, I think Costa definitely has a better chin than Rob. Rob's been, I know he's been cracked, not a lot, but I just feel at this point, honestly, if it's going to be he has. If it's going to be an ugly fight, I think Costa lands a massive one. You know, sadly, I mean, I love both these guys, so I'm not going to be pissed either way. But yeah, you know, I've been leaning towards Costa ever since the fight got announced, to be honest. And now seeing how in shape he is and how disciplined he seems to be, second round.
I like it. I like it a lot. Some might say copycat. I would say wise decision making. Regardless, we all know what we come here for. It's the main event. It's Alexander the Great Volkanovski versus Ilia Topuria. Probably one of my most anticipated fight of the year so far, which has been
announced. We try to say anticipated, like Volkanovski.
How do I say
it? English accent out there.
What anticipate? I don't know. How is that how you say it?
That's what you were about to say.
Well, my nose is a bit stuffy, okay? So sometimes my words don't sound quite okay.
I just saw your inner Volk. I thought your inner Volk came out there for a second.
Oh, my inner Volk will come out next time I see you because I'm going to put hands on you, buddy. But anyway.
Yeah, my inner Islam head kick's going to come out on your toes, buddy.
Touche. Regardless, that's not the point, PJ. Volkanovski's not fighting Topuria. He's fighting the young bull. I mean, Volkanovski's not fighting
Volkanovski. I'm pretty sure he is fighting Topuria.
Okay. Why don't you explain it then, since you know so much about the matchup?
I don't know. I know as much as you. You just said he's not Topuria, but that's weird.
I'm a bit delirious at the moment, okay?
No, it's all right. But, I'm honestly not going to lie. I hate this matchup because I obviously, as anyone who actually been listening to our podcast for quite some time, Roman and I have been extremely high and said that Topuria will be a champion at some point in his career. He has the championship aura every time he goes out there. But I mean, how do you root against Volk? Honestly, like it's so hard to root against a guy like Volk. Guy, he's been number one pound for pound. He stepped in on short notice. Obviously, it didn't go his way, but I think his fan base grew even more after he lost to Islam just for stepping in and saving the main, main events. But I'm extremely indifferent on this one. I don't even want to say that. Like, I hate to say it, but I think I'm rooting more for Ilya just to get some new blood.
Yeah, I would love it.
But if Volk wins, don't get me wrong, I would be extremely happy for him. I think there's some kind of stat out there where it's a guy fighting for a championship
undefeated
35 and above. Like there's only been like one or two guys out of like 20 to 30 that have won.
Mm-hmm. And there's another, I was going to say there's another stat where the four fighters that have gone into championship bouts with undefeated records have all won the belt. And that is what Topuria is going in there at 15-0. But if you look at his Instagram, it says 14. Oh, sorry, I was looking
at his Instagram. Says 15.
Yeah, and he says he's a UFC champion. And I know you saw that picture of him with the belt. And you know, I know that you know that was one of the hardest picks that you've ever seen.
That was a tough one. I wanted to post that on my story,
so
but
I don't have the balls.
I just didn't want to. I can't go. I don't know. I can't publicly on social media vote against Volkanovski. I can't do it.
No, I'm very much. I've gone away from posting the fighters that I am rooting for before the fight because then everyone just clowns on me no matter what. I don't know, PJ. I mean, I think we both know who we're gonna predict on this one. At least I would. I mean, I think I do.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to Poirier because you know he just that sweet boxing is so sweet, and his wrestling is so sweet, and he just has the look of a champion. Something he has that aura of a champion. But yeah, I'm gonna go to Poirier. I'm gonna go. Oh, he's so confident, and I think he might be serious, but I don't have the ball. He keeps saying first round KO. I don't know if I can say that. I have to give Volkanovski at least the credit of getting out of the first round. But I think he might brutalize him. I'm going to go second round to Poirier. Call me crazy, but I'd love to hear your pick.
Yeah, no, I will be going with the same winner as you, obviously. I'm not going to change it up now. I haven't changed up once on Tapori. I can't change up now that he's finally under the big lights on the biggest stage in the world. I think it's his time. Yeah, he is fairly confident he's going to do he's bar for bar trying to replicate what McGregor did to Jose Aldo outside of the cage and now inside the cage. I'm going to Poirier, and if he wins, I think it's gonna have to be by a finish.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one's gonna go a little bit longer, though. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie. I'm thinking like third.
I could see third.
I don't know if it makes it to the championship rounds. That's a lot. That's a long time.
They're gonna be throwing a lot. They're throwing heat.
Oh, Taporia's. I know Taporia will throw heat. That's for sure. Volk's definitely. Volk might have a little bit of edge in the IQ, but in terms of speed and heat, I think Taporia's got that. I'm gonna go third round. I want to say fourth, but honestly, I don't know if it makes it the championship rounds. Yeah. I'm gonna go third round, Ilya Aniu, and he does it in spectacular fashion. Honestly, I could see it. Similar combo to the one that he got Josh Emmett with. Mm-hmm. He didn't finish him, but.
Yeah,
I could see a nice little like left hook to the body, right hook upstairs, put the lights out, mm-hmm. wobble them.
Yeah,
and yeah.
But all I would say, all that being said, though, Volkanovski can very much make us all look stupid. Career defining fight, I think, for both guys. Is Tapuria as good as he says he is? We'll find out. Is Volkanovski one of the greatest of all time? That would put him on.
I mean, regardless. But if he wins this one, it's not even up for debate anymore.
No, he's definitely greatest featherweight of all time. And then he's probably, he's in the conversation for top five of all time.
If we win this one, yeah, we got to start putting him up there with the all time.
I mean, and aptly named Alexander the Great Volkanovski, and someone who's really just taken a turn on me ever since. You know, I mean, everyone, you could probably tell he lost that second fight versus Holloway, but obviously everyone knows what's happened after that and the sort of run he's gone on.
So, bad news right here.
What are you going to tell me?
Justin Taffa, not the main card, but Justin Taffa and Roger Lima's off.
Okay. Well, that's not the worst news.
Justin Taffa just got hurt.
The sad part is my brain immediately went to Paulo Costa. You made me hold my breath there for a second. It's a shame that one's not off the card, but if there was any fight, you know.
I think the weigh-in show is about to start right now. I think it is at 11 o'clock. I'm going to tune into that after this. But main card is still good. I was kind of excited to watch that Taffa-Rogerio fight, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't get to watch it now, so sucks to suck.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
Anyways, Paul.
Do you make yourself laugh sometimes? Bro, I think you're funny.
Sometimes I just like to imagine your stupid face, and it just fucking helps. Just cracks me up.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Jack. I got lost. I got lost in real life for a second because it really does. Like, I could, like, look at, like, I could just, I could see his, like, his stupid just face just sitting there looking at his little Fox screen TV right now, smirking, looking at the phone.
God, not gonna lie, I'm exactly, I was doing exactly that except smirking at the TV right now, watching this guy wait.
Oh, with your feet propped up.
The smirk was out. With what out?
Your feet propped up on the couch like a bomb, phone resting.
Yeah, I know. Actually, they're on the.
I know where they are. I know exactly where they are. Because you're predictable. Anyways, Paul, real quick, we'll recap and then we'll head out. We'll just. We're going to go. I'm going to go. Kopalev, first round KO. Merab decision. Jeff Neal, second round KO. Paulo Costa, second round. Oh, I realized I was just ripping second round KOs because I also ripped second round KO for Taporia. So if that bet, that money, that parlay pays out, it'll be a good night for me. So we'll see what happens. But yeah. What do you got, PJ?
I got Roman Kapilov, second round KO. Merab UD. Ian Gary, third round KO. Costa second round KO and Taporia third round KO.
I'm very excited, PJ. Very excited. And the way that the cards are ordered, I think the hype's just going to build more, like, up and up and up, and then we're going to get to that main event, and I'm just going to be foaming at the mouth, itching at the bit to watch that fight. I'm excited. Yeah. You're excited. We should all be excited. We should all tune into UFC 298. I know Jack is. He promised me he would.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, of course. That being said, I appreciate everyone. I appreciate you, Paul. Especially, my good friend.
Appreciate you, buddy. Yep, here comes big old Jeff Neal about to weigh in. He made weight, dude. Oh my god!
Is he looking nice?
Skinny.
Good for him. About time he made weight.
Yeah, I'm praying in this next hour or so I will see Paulo Costa make the weight of the scale. But yeah, no. Good to be back for me at least, because I was not there for the last episode. But yeah. Good to chat with you, buddy.
Of course, bro. So thank you, everyone. Tunes in. Take it out, US TV. We will catch you later. Thank you, Paul. I'll catch you later, buddy.
Yeah, of course. Adios.
Peace.